Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. On Wednesdays, we normally talk with Rod Mullins. We catch up on the NASCAR world goings on. And Rod, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. So let's talk about Texas last weekend. Kyle Larson, boy, what a season for Kyle Larson. Another win. And this one, as we start the chase down to knock ourselves from 8-4 in the NASCAR playoff chase. Mm-hmm. Talk about Kyle Larson and his big win, number 8 on the season in 2021.
You know, it seems like at times when you start getting ready to kind of count him out in something, he finds a way to win, and he finds a way to pull together, and the team finds a way to pull together and get him to the front. And, you know, considering the wild goings-ons on Sunday at Texas with the wrecks, the feuds, everything else going on, Kyle Larson played his cards right. I mean, he played them exactly the way he needed to, and he got there to the front. You know, there was a lot of tire wear at this track this past weekend. You know, a lot of these cars were having a lot of issues with being able to stick to the track and so forth. They had the compound in a couple of the turns, but it wasn't really sticky as much as they had hoped it would be to give them some grip as they went down the front stretch or the back stretch. But, you know, they needed that downforce. And Austin Dillon was talking about the tires, especially on his Chevrolet Camaro. They were really just worn out. I saw one picture of it. It looked like it. They'd been reduced down about 3 layers. You had an outer layer that was really where the Goodyear Eagle signs are at across the tire there. And then as you went inside toward the tire, that's where it just dropped off. And it looked like about 2 or 3 layers of rubber had just been eaten off of that tire. And they had a lot of tire wear, and there were, you know, teams that had some bad luck. Joey Logano blew an engine. He went out. So you had all of that. And then, you know, Chase Elliott, you're wondering if Chase Elliott's going to find the right number or be able to get back into this contest, because, you know, right now, if you looked at it from another perspective, well, he's in right now at this point. But when you start getting to this cut line, he's going to have to really step up his game, because he's just not been having good luck here as of late.
Martin Truex Jr. also crashed,
yeah.
Knocked him out early. And so he's 22 out of the behind the cut line. Joey Logano, mm-hmm. 43 behind the cut line.
Right.
Those guys have some work to do. Obviously, I mean, at this stage, though, you win a race and you're going to be in the championship four. Right. But, I mean, that's easier said than done with everybody out there gunning for you.
Yeah, and, I mean, Kyle Larson's winning the races. But, you know, what's going to happen when you get a you know, somebody hasn't won a race all season to win a race? And it could happen. I mean, you know, you've got Kansas coming up. You've got Martinsville, and then you've got the big one coming up at Phoenix. And in between those three races right there, you know, Martinsville could be a give-me for somebody brand new on the circuit that could win a race. And if that happens, that could really throw some things into an uproar going into the last week at Phoenix. But, you know, it's not going to knock anybody if they're locked in out, but it puts more pressure on these drivers that are on that bubble, like what you were talking about, of trying to get in and trying to race and get themselves in. If they can't win, if they can't win that race, then, you know, they're going to have to depend on what they've got. They're going to have to depend on crew chief, car setup, all these different things that what all the drivers have to do all season, but they're going to have to throw a little bit of some extra driving flair into it to be able to pull off a win.
That's what's so unique about the NASCAR playoffs. See, we're in the Major League playoffs, Major League Baseball playoffs right now. The Boston Red Sox, Los Angeles Dodgers, Houston Astros, the Atlanta Braves don't have to worry about the Washington Nationals, New York Yankees, Kansas City Royals, anybody else coming up and beating them in a game and knock them out of the playoffs. But in NASCAR, yeah, those guys are out there. The non-playoff guys are out there, and they want to win just as much as anybody else. And yeah. We see this every season where you know, that wild card guy, that wild card team, right, out there makes it really hard for the guys in the chase to do what they need to do.
Well, you know, I had somebody ask me the other day. They said, why in the world is this so popular? Why is the NASCAR playoff format so popular? I was watching it the other day. Somebody said that I was watching it the other day, and they saw Chase Elliott. If the points battle was to end at that point at the race, Chase Elliott would be in sixth place. And then maybe about 5 laps later, he had dropped all the way down to 11th. And then by the time of another 10 laps had gone by, he's back up into fourth or fifth. And a lot of people are asking, how can that be? Well, it's not just Chase Elliott. It's the other drivers that are out there on the track too. And if those guys start having good luck, Elliott starts having bad luck, well, automatically he's going to start falling back. But if both of them start having good luck, it's a race to the finish is what it is to get these guys up there. And Chase Elliott knows in that kind of situation what he's in for. Martin Truex Jr. the same way. Joey Logano. Each of these guys right now are doing everything they can to try to at least solidify and hold on to a playoff spot. Now, more than anything, those guys would like a win to get locked into the, you know, those, that final four of that lock in. But, you know, it's going to be tough. They're going to Kansas this weekend. Kansas is one of those unforgiving type tracks. You know, it's one of those that some people think can't make you or break you. But I think if you have a good Sunday or a good Saturday out there, if you're in the Xfinity series or the truck series, and you have a good Saturday and you have a good Sunday, you've come away a winner out of it. But if it's a bad Sunday, you're left trying to regroup before Martinsville.
Between so Kyle Larson is in the championship four. Between mm-hmm. There are three other guys who are in the on the right side of the cut line right now.
Right,
mm-hmm. Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, just on the other side of the cut line.
Right,
of those four, who do you feel best about right now?
Ryan Blaney. And I'm going to say Ryan Blaney because I have been impressed with this guy much in the same way that you would look at a Joey Logano or somebody else. They show up at, sort of like the way Joey Logano used to be, showing up at the right moment to take advantage of a situation. And I think back to that Roval race, that first Roval race in Charlotte, of where you had Martin Truex Jr., you had Jimmy Johnson get involved in that little melee there. And then out of the blue comes Ryan Blaney through there, and he's hanging close to the front, but he's also watching the way these drivers are, and he took advantage of it. He's in the same position. If he runs good and he stays up toward the front, generally, sometimes he'll win. Sometimes he doesn't win. But, you know, if he's up there around third or fourth and something like that happens, so, you know, say like, for example, the Kevin Harvick little deal and stuff, if that was maybe – one or two laps left to go in that Roval race that time when Kevin Harvick slammed the wall, you know, and Ryan Blaney right there at about second or third, that would have been perfect for him to take advantage of it. And he could have went on and won the race that day.
I guess the good thing is he doesn't have a feuding partner right now. Let's talk about the couple of feuds that have been raging the last few weeks. Elliott and Harvick, Hamlin, Cole Custer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help that Elliott and Hamlin are guys who were competing for the championship four, and they've got other things taking their attention away, I would think.
Yeah, well, the Denny Hamlin and Cole Custer thing had happened back in Indianapolis, and that was on the road course at the Brickyard. And, you know, they thought that this thing was kind of over with, but not so at Texas this past weekend. And I think Denny Hamlin was not too happy. Denny Hamlin did not have a good weekend. Let's just put it that way. Denny Hamlin was close. He and Michael Jordan were close to securing a number for one of the charters, I guess, if you want to call it that, for the upcoming season, where all these teams have to have their charters in line and have to have everything set. They lost a charter, and they were supposed to be getting a charter and a number possibly from Front Row Motorsports. That would have been a Ford car there, or Ford team, and they would have been getting the number out of it. Not going to happen now. So he was very upset, and he made a comment, and he told some reporters over the weekend. He said, you know, this is what's wrong with our quote effing sport. You know, this is what's wrong. And this is, it's talking about, and I know where he's getting at. It's talking about to the highest bidder, money to the highest bidder in these things. And you would think, well, Michael Jordan's got some funding there. They've had a big win, if you want to call it that, with Bubba Wallace. It's gave the team some exposure. And then they've got Kurt Busch coming into the team next year. Well, that ought to be good enough to secure another charter out of it. Not so according to NASCAR. So NASCAR, whatever their choice out of it, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out for Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan. But on the other hand, if we go back to that little feud that happened back at Indianapolis, they started kind of exchanging some taps and some hits at Texas this past weekend. And Denny Hamlin was like, you know, you're reigniting this feud again. You're starting this. And Cole Custer's like, hey, look, I'm racing for my seat. Even though he's not been told, he's not going anywhere. These young drivers are racing week after week to hold on to a seat. Denny Hamlin doesn't have to worry about that. He's secure with Joe Gibbs, and he's also part owner of a racing team. But you've got a young guy like Cole Custer. He's looking for a win. He's looking for something that's going to help him take a step up further in the Stewart Haas stable, or for that matter, somebody take a look at him from another point of view somewhere around the racing world. It's like Matt DiBenedetto right now. Matt DiBenedetto is being looked at by so many different racing teams, but no one is willing to go and take that first jump and say, we're going to take the bite. You know, you're holding the bait out here in front of us. We're going to take it. They've not done it yet. It's everything from the truck, Xfinity, and even a Cup Series championship, you know, or car. But here we go about Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick again. Kevin Harvick has nothing to gain in this whole thing now. This is the way that he's looking at it. You know, hey, my season's over with. I'd like to have a win. I want to win, and I'm going to get it at any cost. And if Chase Elliott gets in my way, well, guess what? I'm going to take Chase out. That's just the way racing is. And NASCAR kind of put themselves into a corner. I'm just going to say it plain and simple. NASCAR painted themselves into a corner when they said years ago, boys, have at it. And when they did say have at it, they didn't say exactly how to have at it. They just said have at it. Now, NASCAR has been bringing both of them into the holler. NASCAR has got them on conference call and talking to them and saying to them, guys, I think you're taking this a little bit too far. Chase Elliott's not, and neither is Kevin Harvick. They're both cagey drivers. I'm not going to say it any other way except to just say they're both very good drivers. They're cagey drivers, and they know what they want. And they want a victory, and they want to be sitting in victory lane. And Chase Elliott wants nothing more than to be sitting back in the championship again like he was last year when they hit the Phoenix again.
Get us ready for Kansas this weekend. Any surprises on the horizon here? Anything in terms of, okay, Kyle Larson doesn't need to win. That doesn't mean he doesn't right. try to keep one out there and doing what he's been doing all season, which is dominating. Right. Anybody from outside of the playoff race that may be a surprise this weekend?
Well, I mean, we're looking at Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick had a great week, had a great weekend, and was racing really well down at Texas this past weekend. He has steadily improved, even though he's been knocked out of the playoffs. He's been steadily improving week after week and running in the top 10. And I think that's a great compliment on him. Another one that I've started getting impressed with a little bit more, it seems like he's now settled in. He's got another contract to go next year. But Erik Jones had another top 15, top 20 finish this past weekend from Texas, and he added to the one a week before, having, I think, a ninth or 10th place finish in the race before. So, you know, Petty Enterprises seems to be getting some things going now, right now, Richard Petty Motorsports. So I'm looking at those two guys, but I really don't want to cut out somebody like I don't want to cut out like a Christopher Bell out of this too. He's looking for a race win. And I know that Tyler Reddick wants one. Christopher Bell, he wants a win, and he'd like nothing more than to just kind of secure himself a little bit more secure in that Joe Gibbs car for next year. But I think he could probably pose a threat for some people. So it's going to be a really tough race this weekend. Don't know exactly what the weather conditions are going to be for the track and so forth. I know we're going to be going through a little bit of a cool spell here. I'm kind of anticipating a little bit of some cool weather out there. Therefore, if that's the case, the cars will run a lot faster. They'll run hot, and then they'll be able to get some great speeds out of it. The question is, who will take advantage of it? So Kansas is a very tricky track. Clint Bowyer loved that track. He would have loved more than anything to win in front of the home crowd, and he can tell you right now that Kansas is a very tricky track, and whoever dominates on Kansas is going to be probably getting themselves in good position toward that final four, especially going into Martinsville.
As we wrap up, let me ask you a couple of quick football questions.
Okay.
Does Tennessee have any chance this weekend with Alabama?
I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be as close as what the Ole Miss game was. I don't think so at all. And thank God they're going to leave the Tennessee fans back in Knoxville so they won't have to go and throw things this time around. I did talk to a season ticket holder today, and I asked him. He was there Saturday night. And I don't know what, for some reason, I was at my dad's house, and I just pulled the iPad up, and I went to YouTube TV, and I started watching. I thought, well, at least I want to get a score on Ole Miss and Tennessee and see what the outcome was. And the game's still being played. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's almost midnight. And, you know, they started at 7:30. They should have been already over with by now. And then I start hearing of 29 supposed fake injuries in order to call timeout on the field till Ole Miss could get themselves, you know, in a set, or they could do certain things against Tennessee. And then with 50 seconds left to go in the ball game, the debacle of the trash debacle starts in Knoxville, Tennessee. And, you know, here's a funny bit of trivia for you. You know, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy that developed or invented the big trash bins that we know of in these, in all these restaurants and different places like that, he founded that company and built that trash bin in Knoxville, of all things. And all the traffic starts, or traffic, the trash starts falling out of the ceiling, you know, there at Neyland Stadium and so forth. And I was truly, if I was a Tennessee fan, I would have been ashamed. I would have been really ashamed. And, you know, I don't expect to ever see that in a Virginia game. Not by any means. I wouldn't expect that. But Tennessee, I know that a lot of it, they said, the season ticket holder told me today, it was probably more than anything else, it was the student section, and there's going to be some quote-unquote hell to pay before it's all over with that student section. And the question about the beer sales, that's been the other big thing that has popped up on the radar down in Knoxville.
Yeah, we've had some student section issues at Virginia Tech as well this season. Right. So they've been trying to deal with that. Hey, our listeners can't see that you're wearing a Virginia shirt right now, but what do you think about those Wahoos? They got a big one this weekend, Georgia Tech. If Virginia wins that game, they're very much in the race for the ACC championship game if they can win this Saturday night.
Well, it'd be a big shot in the arm for them, no doubt about it. It seems like now, you know, they found their offense. Now the defense has started to step up with this Duke game. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but was Duke that bad on offense? I mean, I wondered about it, because usually Duke is a very offensively minded football team with David Cutcliffe as a head coach, but it was like there was nothing to be seen. It was a goose egg. And I was like, were they playing Duke, or was this somebody else that they were playing out there? So, I think if everything goes right for UVA, they can come away with a big win against Georgia Tech. I don't want to get you know, things ahead of the cart and so forth and everything, but it makes me concerned. I'm ready almost for a letdown, just in case, just like I think I was several weeks ago when I thought this will be a better game. They ended up losing out of it. But, you know, you're right. They're pretty much in the – if they win this game, they're in the catbird seat toward the ACC championship. And it's going to make that November meeting against Virginia Tech, oh, it's going to be a big one too. And it's coming back to Charlottesville this time around. And I'm wondering what team is going to show up come Charlottesville time when they have to play – Tech has to play UVA. That's what's going to be a great game, I think.
Yeah, you're like every UVA fan I know. You're superstitious. You don't want to jinx the team. You don't want to say anything too positive, because you don't want the angry gods out there to punish us for feeling good about our team. But that's the way things are there. So, hey, Rod Mullins, it's great to catch up with you again. Thanks for all your insight today.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.